If you found this podcast, chances are you're a high achiever and you're successful. But now you're stuck and stressed, and you realize that everything you've created hasn't given you the fulfillment and the joy you thought it would. This is where we discuss the keys of high performance mindset and stepping into the next best version of yourself. Welcome to the Positive Persistence Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Positive Persistence Podcast, where we bring you guests to inspire you and strategies to help you tap into your potential and become your best self. I'm your host, Ian Bowen, and today I am joined by the one and only Lisa Even. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to talk to you. Like, we were talking a little bit off camera, and man, you are just a joy to talk to, no pun intended, and we'll talk about why that is a pun in a minute. But let me just run through a couple of things for our listeners and viewers about Lisa so you get to know who she is before we start rolling into our conversation. So Lisa is an author of Joy Is My Job, and I know she's got a copy of that bad boy right there. Yes, Joy Is My Job. She's the host of the Have Good Ripple Effect podcast. She's a success coach. She's an all-around joy connoisseur, keynote speaker who crisscrosses the country teaching organizations how to make meaningful ripple effects in leadership, team morale, and culture. But above all, she teaches how to design a life you love. And I am so excited to have you on the show here, Lisa, and to share with our viewers and our listeners all the things good about joy and the good ripple effect.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to share what I know, whether we've got wisdom or just maybe some mistakes along the way. I'll share what I know and can't wait to hear from some of your listeners on what they go out and do.
Yeah. So we were just talking a little bit ago about your trip out to the West Coast and going to an event, and like your speaker career is taking off. And we actually met at an event called EncourageCon a couple of months back. Which had a lot of entrepreneurs and speakers and in the room. And that's also what you presented there. And my wife, Dana, and I were kind of drawn to you just because of your personality. So upbeat and bubbly and so kind and approachable. And like, you don't have any airs about you, even though like your career is on fire right now, which is awesome. But it's so easy to talk to you. So I'm really glad to have you on the show today and to wrap a taste about the good ripple effect.
Yes, thank you.
So, you know, just out of curiosity, and I know a little bit about this story because I heard about it a little bit at EncourageCon, but for those of us who don't know about chasing joy, which is something that you talk about in your book, you know, what made you so consumed with the idea of chasing joy?
I laugh. Sometimes it's funny to share it because people are like, you do that. And I'm like, I do that. But it really did start with my husband and I being what I will call burnt out. You know, we were both climbing the corporate ladder. We had little kids. We were basically marching through all of the things that we thought we needed to do, right? Like have kids, buy a house, you know, work your way up the ladder. And we were sitting on the couch one night, and I said to my husband, you know, we chase a lot of things. Like, we chase our jobs and our kids around. We chase the laundry and the dishes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those things where we just kind of always said, well, you know, once our kids sleep through the night, like, then we will have some time for us. Or like, once, you know, once this Q4 is done and we have all of our budgets turned in at work and all of our projects completed, like then we're going to have like time for us, or we're going to have fun. And so it was kind of this gradual like push off of the enjoyment part of life. Mm-hmm. And so that night I just said to him, you know, we chase a lot of things and we schedule it. Like, we put everything on our calendar, when to change our furnace filter, you know, when to give our dog her heart, you know, worm medicine, all the things. Yeah. And I said, I want to chase something else. Like, I want to schedule something else, and I want to make joy, I don't know, our job. And my husband kind of laughed. He's a quieter guy, and but he's up for anything. And so he laughed and he looked at me and he goes, okay, well, how do we do it? And I was like, I don't know, but give me a couple of days. I want to think about like how we could actually do this in our lives. And so a few days pass, I go to Home Depot, I buy a giant whiteboard, and I ask my husband, I'm like, can you hang this right next to our bed? You know, just like right here, right next to our bed. And he's like, Lisa, people do not have whiteboards in their bedroom. And I laughed. I was like, well, we do. We do. And so he was a good sport. He hung it up. And I said to him, you know, the only time we're together some days is when we fall asleep and when we wake up. And so I want to start creating a list of things that bring us joy, like big and small, things we used to do, could do, want to do, hope to do. Like, I just want to create a list. And then I want to move everything on that list from the whiteboard to our calendars. And I want to start like making joy our job. I want to track it like we track our bank account. And we both worked in healthcare at the time. And so when you go to the doctor, we measure everything, right? We're taking your heart rate, your pulse, we're weighing you, even though we're like, no, please don't. Like, we're doing all of these measuring type of things. Let's measure it in our lives. And so that's really how it got started. And so we were kind of underground doing this at home, and then had a few friends and family members that were like, well, I want a joy list and I want a joy calendar. And I was like, yeah, you should. And then, you know, a few years passed and I thought, I've had enough people ask me how to do it. I'm going to write it down. So that's a little bit of the backstory. It is the most fun thing that we do. Once a month, we sit down and we look at our calendar together and we say, you know, almost like in a, do we have enough? Like, do we need to add some? And if we don't, we add joy to our calendar. It's a blast. And I do it both in my personal life, and then it spilled over into my work life. And now I talk about, you know, team culture, and I also talk about team joy. So it's been amazing to think that you could take a tiny concept that you were just dreaming about and put it in all the spaces and places.
Yeah, that's amazing to think about that you can create so much out of this little three-letter word, joy. And mm-hmm. I love how you were talking about the then word. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's really just a thinly masked cover for procrastination, right? That word then, you know, like once we get all this stuff done, then we'll start mm-hmm. working on our dreams. But like you said, like before you know, like life is passing you by.
Yeah.
And you have to take action now.
It is. And I think the other thing that I was always thinking is I'm a really great prioritizer. Like I will prioritize work and my kids and all of these other things. And so joy was like this bottom feeder that was, I was kind of like, well, I can't give you permission right now because I have all these other very important things to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just had this light bulb moment of like, actually it might be more important. Like it might be more important than the deadline we have next week or, you know, the dishes in the sink. Like I think we need to give ourselves permission to have joy. And that's where, you know, I talk about like desire, permission, and belief. Like, A, you have to want it. If this is not your season of joy where you're like, Lisa, no, thank you. Great. But it might be. Like, call me in 2 weeks because I'll be ready. And then the second thing is really permission. And I think, especially maybe speaking to the parents out there, you know, everything else wins but you. And then I was like, wait a minute. So we gave ourselves permission, and then inadvertently our kids do it too. So they have joy lists and joy calendars. And we've had some really funny moments where one of our Airbnbs flooded when we were out of town. We were staying there for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the time, he would have been probably 10 and my daughter would have been 8. My son turns to my daughter and goes, Elena, joy is our job. We cannot let this ruin our trip. And so it was kind of this interesting thing where it turned into actually great advice for our kids to like, A, make it a priority, and B, give themselves permission to do things that are joyful, even in maybe situations that you're like, who needs a flood in their Airbnb? Like we don't.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's pretty great.
That is, I love the fact that your kids are picking up on that and now implementing that into their own lives. And then that's something they're going to have for the rest of their lives.
I hope so. I really, truly believe that they're on their way. And I'm like, yeah, if you need a little like boost, like make joy your job, and you'll be shocked at like a little bit of the fun that you can have while still being busy and tired and poor, or, you know, whatever it is that you are. I would say, like, but you could have joy too. Like, you could have both.
Right. I am curious. Okay. So I am a very like black and white check the boxes kind of guy.
Yeah.
So as you're talking, I'm picturing this like a calendar, and I'm picturing this whiteboard. And as you say, like, add in some joy.
Yep.
I'm wondering, like, how does one do that? Like, how does one go about adding in some joy to our calendar? Because for most of us, especially parents, mm-hmm. our calendars are chock full of work, practice, games, yep. grocery store, laundry, all the things.
Yeah.
So how do we make some space? How do we make the time? Because I know that we will never find it. Because if you go yep. looking for it, we're never going to find the time. We have to make it. But once we do make the time, how do we find the joy? How do we add that in?
I would say there's like two things that I would recommend. The first thing is start a joy list. I have a friend who she actually painted the garage walk-in door with chalkboard paint, and they add their joy list there. I've got people that have it on their refrigerator. Some people have it as a note in their phone. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is if you don't have like a list of things that you want to do for joy, you won't do it. And so I always say, like, what did you used to do? Like, I think about, you know, before I had kids, and I'm like, I was so fun. You know, it's like, what can you bring back that maybe you haven't done in so long? Yeah. That's like first order of business. And then the other thing I would say is just look at what you're already doing. So for example, I would say, like, do you eat like 2 to 3 meals a day? And most people are like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, okay, great. Start there. You know, the other night we put a tablecloth on our table and my daughter like made placemats for our dinner. We sat down and had like a fancy dinner. We drank out of wine glasses with water. And, you know, that was our joy for that day. And it was 15, 20 minutes of like sitting down, having a meal in a different place. Sometimes we'll do like picnics in the living room. Sometimes we have a friend party coming up where our kids are going to eat with no silverware and no plates. So they're going to eat spaghetti off the counter and they love it. They're like pumped about this. And they're like, we get to make a mess. And I'm like, yes, you do. So I would say that. And then in relation to, you know, other things that we do, my husband and I work weird schedules. I travel all over the country. He works in healthcare and does 12-hour shifts. So oftentimes our date nights are Wednesday afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m. Our kids arrive home at 3:05. We literally look at them. They're a little bit older. And we say, would you like technology and a snack? And they say, yes, we would. And then we say, perfect. Mom and dad are going on a date. And so we have a list of coffee shops printed in our area. We literally pick one off the list, get in our car, we drive there, we order, we grab it, we drink it, we drive home, and then our date night is over. And it is some of the most fun that we have in our week. And so I always say, like, look for tiny slices, 15, 30, 45 minute moments that you can either convert something you're already doing or like slip something in that you think is impossible, like date night. It's impossible. We don't have time for that. So we literally do date night from 3 to 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. And our kids just know that sometimes that's like what we do. Yeah. So I say, like, get creative. And then the one other thing I would mention is crappy to happy. So if there are things that you don't like doing in your life, I would say like unglamorous things like laundry, dishes, Excel spreadsheets, phone calls, report, you know, analyses, whatever it is, I always say, well, are you adding in a little happy, like before, during, or after? And it really does get your mindset into like, I do all of these things, but yet like I still deserve a little joy. And it just helps your brain give itself permission to say, hi, friend, you deserve it. And so that's been really fun to like sneak some things in that maybe you hate and yet you're still going to do anyway. So that's probably more than you all wanted or needed, but I'm really passionate about finding the space.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. We want all of the nuggets, Lisa. We want all of the tidbits. So it kind of sounds like, you know, some of what you're talking about is get it in where you can fit it in.
Heck yeah.
And then when you do, exercise the lost art of fun.
Yeah.
Right? Because at least I'll just speak for myself as an adult. I'm not that fun.
I know, we're not.
I am not. I like to have fun.
Yeah.
But like, I'm always.
Yeah. What's the next thing?
Yeah. So I have a hard time unless I'm on vacation.
I know.
Like when I'm on vacation, I'm a different person. Then it's like all about the fun. But if mm-hmm. I can find a way to like take that version of me and put it into everyday life, there'd probably be a lot more joy in my life.
100%. And I always say like, you go on vacation once a year, that's not enough joy. Like if you like got paid once a year for your bank account, that would not be enough money. And so if you can create mini moments, and I will say like, start getting into the rhythm of it. The first few times you do it, you will be like, oh, this feels a little weird. Like I'm not used to like letting my guard down as if I was on vacation today, but like keep going because you'd be shocked at like 3-4 times in after you're, you know, like having a little joy that you're kind of like, okay, I'm here for this. Like I can do it. And I will say like the other tip I always give is like joy is messy. I remember we started putting things on our joy calendar and one of them was to take our kids to a movie. So we take our kids to a movie. They are throwing popcorn, rolling around on the floor, being loud. And I'm thinking to myself, I would kick myself out of this place. Like I need to leave. So my husband and I, we took our two kids out to the parking lot and I go, I guess we can't count this on our joy calendar. Like it doesn't count because we didn't have joy. And it was funny because our kids are who are like over in the little grassy area are like running around playing tag. And he goes, wait, time out. And he points to them and he goes, mission accomplished. Cause they were having a ton of joy. So I would say it's a little bit messy, but don't miss it. And so then finally we just chased them around. I was like, if you can't beat them, join them. And so I will say like, sometimes when you go to create this perfect joy and it doesn't happen, like laugh about it. And then it counts. It's joy. Cause you're just like, yep, life did do that. We did get kicked out. We kicked ourselves out of a movie cause we were so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love how you used the phrase crappy to happy because I've heard you say this before, but that's your choice.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%.
Like how you view the situation or how you respond to a situation and how you choose to deal with it, whether it's going to be crappy or happy, it is up to you.
100%. And I will say like, sometimes I'm better at it than others, right? Like there are moments where I'm like, no joy. And then I say to myself like, okay, but maybe tomorrow, right? Like start again. It's fine. If there are days where you're like, Lisa, I just can't choose it. Like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, like we all have that. But whenever you're ready, like desire, permission, belief, like get back on. And like, it is so fun.
So desire, permission, belief. So you have to have the desire to be joyful.
Number one, I had a lady raise her hand and say, I have enough joy. Thanks. And I was like, a little part of me wanted to be like, lady, I don't know. I don't know if I believe you, but she was right. Like if you at this very moment are saying to yourself, I can't have it. Fair. 100% fair. Mm-hmm. And then permission is truly like, again, it's like that idea to prioritize it and say like, no, this actually matters to the end game of my life. And then if the other thing is like, believe that it can be true. Like if you believe that, well, nothing's possible or I couldn't do that because I'm busy or I'm too whatever. I'm like, yeah, if you don't have that either, like you're right. Like you're right. And so those are like the three components that I say like tinker with. And it doesn't have to be a big belief of like, well, I can have joy all the time. I'm like, no. It's like the joy that be ready for joy to like come your way. And if it does, great. And if you can put some like things on the calendar to make it a little bit more possible, like before you know it, you have proof, you have ROI on that investment. And I would say like, we would win that game if we had the stock market for joy, like our investments, and they would be top.
Corner of the market.
Heck yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
It's time to ask yourself, when was the last time you prioritized you? Did you know that research shows that nearly 85% of high performers struggle to maintain a performance mindset while juggling the demands of work and personal life? Those who actively prioritize their performance mindset and personal growth are 30% more likely to achieve their goals in business and life. If you're feeling crippling stress and anxiety, or if you're feeling guilty when you take a moment for yourself, or if you're stuck in the grind and feeling burnt out, you're not alone. Many of us yearn for more, but struggle with the fear of being judged or feeling selfish. And you want to step into the next best version of yourself. That's why I created the Rinse Method, which got me from paraplegic to marathon runner. Backed by science-based proven strategies and now customized for high performers like you. If you're stuck and stressed and want clear steps that you can implement today to move forward, make sure you visit thepositivepersistence.com to download our free Rinse PDF. Let's talk a little bit about that sign that you behind you. Yeah. Tell us about the Have Good Ripple Effect. I know that is also the name of your podcast.
Yeah.
Can you break down for us or unpack for us what does that mean to have the good ripple effect?
Yeah. You know, maybe I'll tell like a quick story about how it like came to be. I was a leader in healthcare in the neurosciences space before I was a keynote speaker. So I managed large teams of people. And one of the most important things that I would say to my team was, and I would cup my hands kind of like nerdy like, and I'd be like, guys, this is our ecosystem. And like my team would be like, what? And I'm like, no, like us here today, like this is our ecosystem and we have to build and maintain and protect it. Like if we don't have good ripple effect with each other and how we function, like it's going to be not good.
Yeah.
And so I started to say that to my team of just really this idea that everything you say and do is a ripple, happy or crappy, your choice. And when, you know, the first time I heard an employee on my team say it to someone else, like, is that really good ripple effect, right? Like they were kind of like keeping each other in line. Yeah. I like literally did like a little happy dance of like, that's right. And so that's kind of how it started for, kind of being a tagline for my business. And I really truly believe it to be true even across, you know, your life of just like, how can you have good ripple effect with the people around you, whether it's your presence or maybe helping someone out of saying like, you want to know how to do this? I know how to do this. Get on up here. It's just looking around in those daily moments, similar to joy, and just saying like, I choose that. And I wanna bring that, and I'm gonna help other people do that. So that's a little bit, again, a story about how it kind of came to be, but then, yeah, what I believe for it to be true.
Yeah, that is, and you are so right. Like the energy that we emit is palpable, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's happy or crappy, I think
you feel it.
Yeah. And I think that most people don't realize that
in itself,
that, you know, when they come in with RBF on their face, they don't have to say a word. Like that energy has a ripple effect.
Oh, immediately. 100%. I would say like you bring the weather, right? Like you bring the weather. So whatever weather you're bringing into the room, like, that's yours to choose. Now, you know, I think there's a fine nuance too of like your ripple effect is going to look very different than someone next to you. Like what I enjoy, what I'm good at, what I desire to bring to the world will look different. And that's perfect. Like I want people to bring like their unique version of ripple effect to the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that can be in your corner of like your family. It could be on your team. If you're dreaming a little bit bigger and you're like, no, I want to change the world. I'm like, yes, you should. So it's just a really unique way to say like, you get to choose it.
Yeah. Yes. And not only do you get to choose it, but you have the ability to change the weather.
Yeah.
Right?
I always say like, you happen to the world, not the other way around.
Yes.
And so like, how are you happening to it? And that was always my first question of whether it was budget cuts or, you know, a really difficult like situation. I'm like, how do you want to happen to this? Like, okay, we can't change the fact that, you know, X occurred. We actually had a house fire due to lightning. Which was insane. Wow. Thankfully, we got out, like, it was 3 a.m. We got out safe, all that. But I remember in that moment thinking, like, I did not choose this. Like, I was, like, looking at this, like, burned rubble of a house. And I'm like, I did not choose this.
Yeah.
But I guess my opportunity is my reaction to it. Like, how do I want to happen to this situation? And so I think right around that same time is when we, like, started to think about joy, too, of, like, man, there's a lot of crappy. Like, we can own the happy. And so, yeah, even if you're sitting there thinking, well, Lisa, you don't even know. And I'm like, I don't. But, like, how do you want to happen to that?
Right.
Or just let it be the same, right? And that's a choice too. It's like desire, permission, and belief. Like, you can stay where you are. That's perfect. But I just want you to make sure that you're 100% like, yep, I choose this. And I choose the outcome of that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am a firm believer that there is a silver lining in every cloud.
Yeah, I right? agree.
Sometimes you have to squint.
Yeah.
But it's there. And it is up to you. It's your choice if you want to go looking for it or not. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I know some people, my father being one, rest his soul. I feel like he wasn't happy unless he was unhappy.
Yeah. There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. And those are the type of people, I guess, that you're talking about that are like, I'm not ready for this joy thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's okay.
I'm on the joy bus today.
Yeah. But hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully sometime.
I always say that. I was like, but maybe tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Yeah, really. So that, I love the premise of the good ripple effect. And I love the idea of just finding joy and making the list. Because you're right. Like, if you don't make the list, then even if you do find, no, you don't find, even if you do make the time.
Yeah.
You won't know what to do with it.
Right. And that's why I always say, like, we have our list on a smaller list on our fridge and we call it our go list. That if we find ourselves with 15 or 20 extra minutes, right, maybe we're waiting for dinner to cook or, you know, my husband gets home early and we have 20 minutes, like, we're looking at that list to remind ourselves, like, what do we do for joy? Because sometimes, like, having joy and, like, thinking about joy, like, when you go to a restaurant on Friday night and you're like, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. We end up wasting a lot of time. And then we kind of say to ourselves, well, let's just stay home.
Yeah.
And so that joy list becomes kind of almost like a little, like, lighter fluid to be like, poof, like, you got a little bit of time, like, do it. And if I would say, like, if you don't have ideas, A, email me or message me, or B, if you've got kids can come up with ideas. Like, they know how to do this. It's not been beaten out of them yet. Right. And so sometimes, like, the most fun things. So even if you don't have kids, I would say, like, you got friends with kids. Do you have nieces or nephews? Like, ask them and you'll be shocked at some of the things that they say. And then you're like, actually, that's not a bad idea. Like, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah. I'm, you know, we have a lot of kids and, I know that they have some definite creative ideas, you know, and now talking to you, I personally need to let down my guard. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's just an automatic no.
I know. It's easier to say that, right? It feels good.
Can we do this? No.
And I'm in control. Like,
before you have even thought about why you're saying it, it just comes out.
Yeah.
Nope. No, I'm not going to do that.
I know.
But I need to, I need to remind myself to find the joy. And you're right. You're so right. Kids lead you to it like every day.
Oh, every minute. Day. I'm like dying laughing when my daughter's doing something funny. And I was like, huh. Like,
yeah,
you're having joy just like in the middle of our kitchen right now.
Yeah. That is awesome. You're right. It is everywhere. You just have to open your eyes and find it. But like you said, you have to have the desire, I guess, to want it and then give yourself permission to experience it.
And the one other tip I will give or trick is that the other thing that my husband and I do is we get in each other's joy. You know, he really loves like football and sports. And I like to go to sports. Like I just want to like have a drink and like talk to my friends and cheer when they score. But he really does want to know like the statistics of these players. And so once a month we have a little bit of joy carved out where I'm in his joy or he's in my joy. So an example that I often give is, you know, every so often I will sit down and I will watch that football game and he will tell me every stat about every player and where they were traded from and what, you know, what he thinks about them. And all I have to do is nod and smile and be like, yeah, oh my, wow. Well, really? 400 yards. Really? Wow. And it is the most fun to watch him then be like, yeah. And last year he had 472. And I'm like thinking to myself, I don't even know what that is, but I am enjoying your joy and vice versa. One really fun, quick example. We had the friend say, hey, you know, the show Bridgerton on Netflix. And then I was like, yeah, that's a fun show.
Yeah.
She goes, hey, there is a Bridgerton ball in Minneapolis. Do you and my husband, do you guys want to come up and go to this ball? And I was like, yes, I do. And I look at my husband, you know, a little bit later, I'm like, hey, our friend is inviting us to a Bridgerton ball. And you could see the smile on his face. He goes, is this the part where I get into your joy? And I laughed and I said, this is it. And so we went to the Bridgerton ball. We got all dressed up and we went with a few of our friend couples and the gentleman did a great job, like being in our joy for the night. And
awesome.
We still talk about that experience to this day. And so we're always looking to create, you know, how do we get into each other's joy? And then it takes all the pressure off of like, I don't have to like this. I don't. And the whole purpose of it is for them. And so that might be another fun thing for if you're listening and thinking, well, my spouse and I, or my friend and I, we don't like the same thing. I would say like, that's not a problem. Not a problem. You can still have joy.
Yeah. All in how you look at it.
It is.
That's awesome. Man, Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You have given me a totally different aspect on how to create joy, how to open my eyes up to joy, and how to add more joy into my own life. And I know that you added a ton of value for our listeners and our viewers as well. But I want to give them a chance to reach out and find you. So if you could, can you hold up your book again?
Yes, I would love to. It's on Amazon, so you can find it there.
Boy is my job. Okay, so we can find the book on Amazon. How else do we find you? Social media, website, if people are interested in booking you as a speaker or just getting more tips on and strategies on how to have more joy in their life and have a good ripple effect.
Yeah, absolutely. My website is my name. So it's lisaeven.com and it's even like Steven. Sometimes people can't find me and I'm like, it's two E's, E-V-E-N. and then on social media, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And I'd love to hear from you. If there's a contact us button on my website, that goes directly to my email. So if you've got even just a funny moment to share, I always say, like, what can we swap? Whether it's good ripple effect stories or joy stories, I want to hear them.
I love that. We all need more joy and good ripple effect in our life. That is 100%. So again, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa. I appreciate you. And I appreciate every one of you guys, listeners and viewers, tuning in for this podcast episode. Remember to always stay positive, stay persistent. And remember that mindset is everything.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Positive Persistence family. We're having a great time creating this content, and we truly hope it inspires you to embrace positivity and persistence in your own journey. If this podcast episode inspired you or entertained you, scroll down, hit those stars, and leave a comment or two. Your 5-star reviews and shares encourage us and help us grow the show. So until next time, stay positive, stay persistent, and remember, mindset is everything.